Diary, March 1896, New South Wales, Australia. March 7th to 29th, 1896, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. Sabbath Sarah, Brother Connell and I rode through the woods to the school ground. Quite a congregation of men, women and children were seated on plain hard boards without backs, and only the cover of the sawmill over their heads. A fly of a tent had been put up to shield me from wind or sun. I had freedom in speaking. Oh, how my heart felt the burden for the souls that were perishing out of Christ. They were parents. They were children who needed to be converted. They were out of Christ, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. There were girls who were intoxicated with reading novels. Their minds were spoiled and ruined for useful labor. But never were there youth that I have seen whose lives were entirely perverted and ruined for anything good. Oh, how I longed to see these souls affected, and their hearts melted and broken. I feel deeply burdened that God shall take these souls and work with them, poor, ruined wrecks of humanity, until they shall be converted. Sunday morning I was not able to sleep after 1 o'clock. I'm much troubled in regard to Willie McKnight. He is in peril. I was awakened with remorse of soul on his account, as if my soul was in the desperate condition his soul is in. I felt wonderfully troubled. His course has been very singular. He has been boarding with a family who have no love for God. They are disreputable, and I greatly fear for him, lest he has already become corrupted. This day, Brother Whiteman and wife, and Sister Radley from Castle Hill, left for their home. March 12th, 1896. This past night I have slept well. Did not leave my bed until nearly 5 o'clock. This is a rare thing in my experience. North Shore, Sydney, New South Wales. I slept until 2 o'clock. Yesterday was a very hard and trying day for me. We left Currumbong for the station Wednesday. We had, Sarah and I, the compartment to ourselves, with the exception of a young woman and two of her children. We did not become weary. We changed cars twice to get to New Fern Station, then walked to Brother Israel's. He was all prepared to leave for Parramatta to attend the funeral of Sister Keel, a coloured sister. Before she died, a letter was sent us by her dictation, soliciting me to care for one of her children, who was a very unruly boy. She felt if I could take the supervision of him, she should feel at rest. Oh, I so wish I could. But I could see no way to do this. The sufferings and anxiety of this dear sister are ended, and she is at rest. We found Sister Israel very, very bad. There were thoughts that they might be obliged to take her to the asylum. She has been raving wild. I could find no peace there, and went to North Shore on the tram, then changed for omnibus, then for the boat, then for the tram, then walked and walked, and could not find the place where Brother and Sister Starr lived. It was a very hot day, and I felt so weary I had to sit down by the roadside. I felt that I must fall down exhausted. But we found their hired home at last, and we were thankful. Went to rest early. Brother Russo came a little after dark. The two families, Brother Palance and Brother Stars, were broken up and moving. We were very weary. Retired early. Matthew 10, verse 40 to 42. We have our work to do, and hitherto hath the Lord helped me. Come unto me, all ye that labour, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. I have proved this word of Christ, and have found that rest. Let all come in full faith to Jesus. North Shore, Sydney, New South Wales. I could not sleep past 2 o'clock a.m. I sought the Lord in prayer and then commenced my writing. Some things are urging themselves upon my mind in reference to the case of Brother McCullough, who is very much reduced in health. What can we do to help him is the question. May the Lord give wisdom is my prayer. I have received a letter from Fanny Bolton, very much after the same that she has previously written. While I feel pity and sadness for her, I do not feel that I can again connect with her. Yesterday I wrote some things in reference to the past, in the experience I have had with Caldwell and Blank. Then I was writing upon the 15th chapter of John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. As I was writing, a heavenly atmosphere pervaded the room. I have had the same experience many times in my life. I lost all sense of everything around me. I saw no symbol, no person, but a communication was made to me as if words were spoken.
Fanny Bolton is not under the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Although she has proved herself unworthy to be connected with the work in which you are engaged, yet take her to your home and treat the poor deceived child as one who needs help. She cannot ever be connected with the work that is to go forth in all the meekness and lowliness of Christ. She needs your help in more ways than one. Testify to her that you pardon her, and let her return to her home as she desires. Be careful whom you connect with you in your work, for you must not carry such burdens, but bear testimony that you will help her to come to Jesus and repent. Open the door for her to come to me, for it is I whom she has wounded and has misrepresented. But I will forgive her past falsifying if she will see it is I whom she has wounded and falsified in misrepresenting the work I have chosen you to do. I decided to take Fanny Bolton home with us and take care of her, although she has done me great injury, misstated me, cast reflection upon my work, and left the impression upon minds that she was the one who made my books. She has confessed to me, and yet she repeats the same false statements. I shall do all I can to help the poor soul. Friday, March 20th, 1896. North Shore, New South Wales. I arose at 2:30 a.m. All is confusion in the daytime, but these early hours are precious to me. All is quiet now, and I can write. Left North Shore with Elder Israel. We visited Elder McCullough, riding 9 miles. The family were at Sydney. We decided Fanny should go with us to Corinbong. She is very feeble and needing care. Rode 9 miles to Elder Israel's. This makes 20 miles I rode on Friday, after leaving the home where Brother Starr had been living. We had a prayer season with Brother McCullough. Evening after the Sabbath, March 21st. I awoke early in the morning and commenced to trace some important matters with my pen. We rode 7.5 miles to where the tent was pitched, and I spoke to a good congregation. The Lord gave me much freedom. 2 prominent men were present who were deeply interested in the truth. One, I believe, has taken hold of the Sabbath. Our meeting continued late. We had a social meeting. We returned to Brother Israel's. 15 miles we traveled, going and coming from meeting. The Lord is still moving upon hearts, and souls are being convicted. We thank the Lord that some are yielding to the drawings of Jesus Christ. Oh, how few among the many will accept the truth! How few will receive Jesus! At Elder Israel's, we do thank and praise our Heavenly Father. Light, precious light, is penetrating the darkness that has enclosed the mind of Sister Israel. She is being healed. Satan is being defeated. The Lord is good, praise his holy name forever and forever. The Lord is giving relief to this family that have so long been oppressed. Sarah McKenterfer, Elder Israel, and I rode 9 miles to see Elder McCullough. The blocks of wood that were in the road were very slippery, and we were obliged to go considerably out of our way, for the horse was smooth-shod. We had but a short visit, conversed a little, and prayed with him. He is improving, and we hope will be able to attend the meetings. Had A talk with Fanny Bolton and proposed to take her to my home and see if a change will not do her good. We rode 7.5 miles to the Ashfield Church. I had not attended meeting there since I was at the dedication and gave the dedicatory discourse. The house was well filled. The Lord gave me great freedom in speaking. Souls are constantly embracing the truth. We are so glad, so glad. We will praise the Lord with heart and soul and voice. I am so grateful to our dear Savior for all that he has done in these places of importance so near Sydney. We feel grateful for these houses of worship built where the believers, and also those not of our faith, can be benefited. We see enough to do on the right hand and on the left hand. Our people, those who have newly come to the faith, need to be visited, encouraged, strengthened. And those who do receive the truth need to be set to work to help those of their friends who know not the truth. We are so grateful, for light God has given us is being taken from under the bushel and set on a candlestick. Monday, March 23rd, 1896. We left Brother Israel's. Elder Israel took us in his carriage to visit Sister James. We were so sorry to find an alienation between her and her daughter-in-law. Oh, how much we need the grace of God to change our own natural ways and habits and let the Spirit of God rule in our hearts. We prayed with our sister and then returned to Elder Israel's.
We met a brother and sister from Queensland and a brother from South Africa who came to Australia for work and was unsuccessful. He wants to return but has no money. We decided to help him if we could obtain the money. But money is very, very scarce, and we know not what to do to keep all things moving. We left for Strathfield, Brother Israel taking us in his carriage to avoid changing cars. We found every compartment occupied. We were obliged to take seats in a compartment occupied by 5 men and 1 woman. But in about 30 minutes, all the men left the compartment, and the 1 woman, beside ourselves, has now left. I rested some, for I was very tired. Reached Morisset about 8:30. The team came for us, and we rode to our home 7 miles. It was a beautiful moonlight night, but the roads were bad, and we were compelled to go through the brush, Blank leading the horses. We arrived home safely, praising the Lord that no accident had befallen us. We have oft been placed in difficult circumstances in our travels, but the hand of the Lord has shielded us from harm and wonderfully preserved us. I felt so grateful to God. I praise his holy name for the assurance I have daily of his great goodness to all who will come to him and let him be their helper and friend in every time of need. We need so much the keeping power of God, for we are sometimes in peril. We must have faith in the Word of God, for we need to present the wonderful truths to those we shall meet in our travels on the cars, and also to speak a word in season to chance acquaintances. We need so much to study the Word and have faith in the Word as the voice of God to us. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Luke 17, verse 12 to 19. The 9 lepers were healed of their leprosy, and were not exercised thereby to believe in Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Therefore their healing was not of the soul, as well as of the body. The sins of the soul were still defiling the men. In this we have our lesson. The healing of disease is no evidence that the sins of the soul are healed. The one man healed in body and soul manifested fruit in giving glory to God. Faith in Jesus Christ as the sin pardoner will take away his sin and restore the sin-sick soul. He is cleansed. He is pardoned. We need now in our teaching to educate the darkened minds, that all may come to Christ and be healed of physical and spiritual disease. Oh, what a work is before us here in Australia! Here is just as verily a work to be done for souls as for those who are of foreign tongues. We will, O God, give thy name the glory for the good work thou art doing for the souls in darkness. We need more workers in this field. We need to help those newly come to the faith to obtain light from the Word, that they may help us in our work to help other souls that need the truth, and thus be letting their light shine forth amid the moral darkness. They may open the Scriptures to others, that they may behold the wondrous things of the Word of God. Friday, March 27th, 1896. Kurrenbong. This morning I felt my heart full of praise and thanksgiving to God. A sweet peace pervaded my mind. I said, All my worries I will leave at the footstool of mercy. I spoke to the people assembled under the large tent. The Lord gave me a very plain testimony to bear. Then I requested an interview with Caldwell in the presence of our brethren Prescott, Rousseau, Daniels, Starr, and W.C. White. I laid out before them the unchristian course he had been pursuing. His influence was not good. His course with Fanny Bolton was not at all as it should be, and their intention to marry was not carried out. Sabbath, March 28th. I spoke at 11 o'clock. I also attended the afternoon meeting. We had a good meeting. Many confessions were made, and the Spirit of the Lord came in. Sunday, March 29th, 1896. I was unable to sleep past 12:30. I arose and took my pen, and tried to put upon paper the matter that burdened my mind. I attended the second session of the forenoon meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. I read matter which I had written upon education in our schools. I then tarried to hear Elder Starr give a lesson to the class. I was very, very tired. Wrote a letter to Elder Corliss, advising him not to move hastily away from his place of labor. I've just opened and read a letter from Pastor Anderson of Hobart, Tasmania. This epistle speaks of Sister Hubert being persecuted by her husband and Elder Wilson. It is not surprising that Brother Hubert should have an earnest desire that his wife should believe the truth, the word of the living God. The truth has always encountered opposition. The messengers of truth have been followed by reproach and falsified, and opposition of the strongest character has been awakened against them.